So Mark 4, starting at verse 1. And Jesus began to preach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were around along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." And Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown." This evening, we are starting a mini-series between Andrew and I on Mark 4 and touching on some of chapter 5 as well. And Mark has been writing down all things Peter has been telling him. Mark doesn't write particularly chronologically. He chooses events that he believes by the way of the Spirit will move his heart, encourage the people to know Christ. Something that seemed increasingly hard for the people of Mark's day, and it seems increasingly hard for people to do in our time also. And so we come to Mark 4, where we see Jesus telling a parable and explaining it. So this time a week ago, Claire and myself and our dog Boyd were on the road driving from Geelong to Toowoomba. We had made it probably about three quarters of the way at this point. And a few of you may have already heard us mention this when we chatted one-on-one. One of the things that we found most interesting was seeing the different states of the soil that we drove around and saw. We came from Geelong, from Victoria, where it was green and lush, where there was great growth in the gardens, that the flowers were blooming and the grass was nice and green. And as we made our way to Toowoomba, it got less and less lush, less and less green. The green turned into this dry, crusty grass, and that crusty grass turned into red, hard, compact rock. It was really quite sad to see, actually, all these different states of the soil. I'm sure you know these soils that I'm talking about. This afternoon, we're going to look at a simple story of seeds and soil, But it isn't just a story, it's a parable. And parables are these unique things that are kind of comparisons to help you understand truth. It's a simple story that reveals a profound, insightful, spiritual truth. And so Jesus says in verse 3, So Jesus says in verse 3, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And in some different translations, that word listen sometimes has before it, behold. It's this kind of command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an invitation. It's what we call in Greek, it's called an imperative. It's this real command, an earnest call to the people. Listen to what is about to be said. And we see in verse 10 there, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about these parables. And in verse 11, it says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But those on the outside, everything is said in parables. And in verse 12, here he is quoting Isaiah 6, 9 to 10. And these verses are there that says, so that they may ever be seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. That's from Isaiah. And those verses describe the unbelieving Jews of Isaiah's day in the Babylonian captivity. And now Jesus is using them to describe the unbelieving Jews of his day. And so we see in verse 1 and 2 that they came as an eager crowd. But there were very few by comparison that truly wanted to know Jesus. So Jesus tells a parable. Jesus sows this seed and scatters it among the soils of these people's souls. He scatters it among the many people who have gathered to see him. Some have come just to say that they've seen this man Jesus that they've heard a lot about. Some have come in the hope that he can perform a miracle and perhaps heal him so they can get something from him. I dare say that you can find similar ground in many churches today. But some people come to church because they think church people are nice to be around. Some people come thinking that they might see miracles in the church. Some come just because their parents drag them along. That they're around the Word of God, like those that were around Jesus listening to this parable, they hear the truth, but they, don't understand it. So Jesus is saying here that those who hear the parable but don't have the Holy Spirit in them do not understand. To them, it is just a parable. It's just a simple story. Jesus is saying, you won't listen when I explain things and would understand them, like when he said that he is God. He is the Savior they've been waiting for. They didn't listen when he said that. So Jesus says, I will speak to you in riddles that you won't understand. For parables that have no explanation have no understanding. And so in Ezekiel 12, we see that he says, Son of man, you're living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. So for those that do not, don't have the Holy Spirit, they can't see what God is really talking about. But for those that do have the Holy Spirit, for those that know the gospel, the word of God, the secret of the kingdom of God, you will understand it. Jesus says this to the people that had gathered around him once the multitudes have left. They get to have this insight into what these parables mean. And so do we. So we get to be part of the few that hear the explanation by Christ himself. And this parable is sometimes described as a parable of parables. For if you don't understand this parable, you will not understand the rest of the parables. It says in verse 13. So I encourage us all today to listen. Listen carefully to what is being said. For Jesus is describing a different states of souls. And he might just be describing yours. So we look at the first state that he describes, the solid soil. So we see from verse 1 there, it says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. And he taught many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So this is the parable that Jesus tells to the large crowd, so large that he had to get onto the boat so that they could all hear him. And if you've been out in the ocean, you know how far your voice travels when you're out there. That's how many people came so he could project his voice like that. And verse 2 says, he taught them many things by parables. And this is one of Jesus' favorite teaching tools, using a simple story to explain a spiritual truth. And so verse 3 and 4, he begins this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And the people listening to Jesus would have known about the soil around them, like we know about the soil that's around us. They would have known what the hard soil is that Jesus was talking about. It's the soil that was extremely, extremely compact. It was like concrete, almost like a path. It was the soil that the farmers and the animals walked on day after day, and so it became more and more compact. Nothing grew on there. And Jesus is saying a sower, that being Jesus, sowing into all the people listening there and to all of us reading here now, that he's dispersing some seed into that very soil. But this seed didn't even penetrate the ground. It didn't even make a dent. For before it could, birds came and ate it up, and it disappeared. And we see a little bit further on in verse 14 and 15, Jesus gives us the spiritual truth. I think we missed one, but that's okay. I'll read it, or you can read it in your Bible. The farmer sows the seed. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes up and takes away the word that was sown in them. And what Jesus is saying here is that the seed is being scattered. That seed is the word of God, the truth of the gospel, the incredible news that gives life to the lifeless. That this word is sown and scattered among the people, but before it can even penetrate, it is snatched away by Satan and has no effect to the hearer. And that was the hearts of some of those that were there with Jesus, the religious leaders of that day, the ones who heard the word from Jesus' very lips, and it still did not affect them. The ones who the very thought of truth and gospel was snatched away before it had an impact. I wonder if you know people like that, those whom you try and bring the gospel to and you get immediately shut down and rejected. Those whom, as soon as you mention you're a Christian, try and change the subject or make it awkward and walk away. Those who hear the word of truth so clearly explained and think, no, that's not for me. Sometimes these people are the very people in the church. They sit there with their mouths pressed and their brows furrowed. They come maybe because their parents told them or because their spouse dragged them. But though they're here in church surrounded by the gospel, the soil of their soul is like concrete. The seed has no way to get in, and so Satan comes and quickly snatches it away. Is Jesus describing you? You may have sat here for years under Andrew's preaching and the congregation singing for years, and yet you remain hard-hearted. You hear the seeds of the word, and before you're even out the door, they're gone. Your soul is like Satan's playground. You let sin overrun your life. You live in unrepentant and uncontested sin. Are you the person who rejects God, despite knowing that Jesus Christ, God's own Son, came down from heaven to earth? Despite knowing that he lived a perfect life that we cannot, because we are sinful, broken people. That his perfect life was needed because he bore all of our brokenness, all of our sinfulness, all of God's wrath on himself, so that when he died on the cross, he took the punishment that we deserve. So we are now set free because of him. When you hear that, because of his resurrection 3 days later, Christ put the final nail in Satan's coffin, so our relationship may be restored with God once more. When you hear that, do you shrug your shoulders and say, that's not for me? If that is you, you need to cry out to God and seek forgiveness. You need to pray that God may plow deeply your soul. For it is only through God's mercy and grace can your hardened heart be changed to good soil. So that's the first soil that we look at this evening. Come to our second one, the shallow soil. So verse 5 and 6 says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, their plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Sometimes when the soil in which the farmers were throwing the seeds, it looked really good from the top. It looked healthy, and it looked just like good soil. But actually, a little bit lower than that nice soil were a lot of limestone, a lot of this hard, dense rock. Limestone is such a hard rock, I don't know if you know it. My parents have built a retaining wall out of it in Perth. That's how hard that rock is that's under that. And so what would happen is that this seed would start to take root and grow quickly because of that good top soil. It seemed like it was really healthy, good growing grain. But it wasn't long before it would hit that stone, that it would reach the end of the soil, bounce back up and be scorched, wither and die. And so Jesus goes on to explain what this means in verse 16 and 17. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. I must confess, I've seen this in my own life. I came back from a convention about 10 years or so and got up in front of the church at Willerton and proudly proclaimed that convention had changed my life, that I was a new Caleb, that my life would never be the same again. I remember getting the chills when I sang the songs, my eyes welling up with tears, getting emotional at what I was experiencing and feeling. But that feeling lasted only a few days, maybe a week if I was lucky. Eventually, that passion, that zeal, that joy that I felt so strongly at the beginning fell away, for it didn't have a foundation with which to grow. When work stress, relationship stress, when persecution comes along, my joy left and the word of God with it. And we see this so often, don't we? The initial passion and joy that the gospel makes in someone's life. And they declare, this is what I have been missing. It's a thing that brings me so much joy and so much happiness. They get chills. They think that being a Christian is going to be awesome. And maybe you felt this very way like I did. Now, I want to be clear here that I'm not saying that joy and having a joy for Christ is wrong. I'm not saying that. For we know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. It's a good emotion. But I'm sure this morning when we sung, or this evening when we sung together, or when we prayed together, you had joy in your heart. That's not the joy that I'm speaking of. But there is a danger if we appeal only to joy, only to the emotion of people. You can promise them happiness. You can invite them in and fill numbers up by telling them all good things. You can stir it up with emotion and impressive words. You can add music behind powerful things. You can raise your voice whenever you speak of God's love. You can get people jumping up and down with passion for God, with tears streaming down their face. All of this happens. All of this can happen. And yet, verse 17 says, but since they have no root, they lasted only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And Jesus says there that, be careful, for this joy is fleeting. These are people who hear the word and love it, who raise their hands up in church, who say amen, who clap and cry out, preach it, brother. But they're the ones where the gospel hasn't gone deep into their lives. They have no roots, and the word was not planted. And when times come that turn their highs and joys into hardships and struggles, their faith is rocked. Their faith is temporary, and they fall away. Troubles and struggles and hardships and hurdles come their way. So the Bible says that that faith, that feeling of that joy that they first had, was not the gospel penetrating deep into their hearts. It wasn't the gospel changing and taking deep roots. It was an emotion that had no depth. It was not true, deep, strong gospel joy. Is that your experience with the gospel? G.K. Chesterton said, it is not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting, but that Christianity was tried and found difficult. Maybe you have this joy, this excitement, and so you go on and take a stand for something that is biblical. You take outside of the church and of your Sunday and other Christians, and so you go out with zeal and you profess something that's against culture, and you find opposition. You find that you're rejected by your co-workers and friends, that you're shunned by your family and your loved ones, that standing up for the gospel, proclaiming the word, will not always bring joy-filled moments. And so when these difficult times do indeed come, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that they do. When these times come, the faith, the joy that was at once one time burning within, melts away. You quieten down your biblical beliefs, you water down God's truth, and they fade away. We pray that that's you, Christ may do or work a miracle in your soul, and so turn that fleeting joy into a joy that is rooted deep in the gospel of God. And so we come to our third soil today, superficial soil. A few months ago, Claire and I were house sitting. We were looking after a couple's for about 6 weeks while they were gone to Ireland. And one of the responsibilities we had was to look after their garden. They had quite a a big garden and only a very small mower to mow the all the grass. And so we kept kind of putting it off and saying, oh no, that's going to take ages. We'll do it another day. And that day turned into a few days, and that turned into weeks, and until they were about to come back, and we hadn't done it. And so we went out, and what we found was that these weeds were bigger than the grass. That over time, this beautiful grass that had grown, these wonderful gardens and garden beds, had been overrun by these huge, prickly, sharp, thorned weeds. So that took a long time for us to work it back and to pull them out. And we learned a good lesson then. Don't leave your garden. We had to be vigilant, and we weren't. We had to look after it, and we didn't. So now we know that lesson. And for you and me, we have soils in our souls, the soil that Jesus is throwing this seed into, seeing which one of these our souls actually are. But I think we actually have perfect soil. We have incredible soil. That soil isn't great to grow grass and grain, but it's amazing to grow these weeds. You and I were born with this soil in us. And so we also have to be ever vigilant in our weeding of our souls, in looking after our hearts. For otherwise, while we may love God and desire to grow in Him, if we're not pulling out the weeds in our lives, if we're not destroying these weeds and looking out for when they start sprouting, they will grow up and choke us. And that's what Jesus speaks of in verse 6 and 7. It says, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. And then he goes on to explain this in verse 18 and 19. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things came in and choked the word, making it unfruitful. Is this the condition of your heart? You might have been able to say to the other two, no, that's not me. I'm not like that. But does this describe your heart? You say loudly, I love God. I worship God. I love the church, and I love getting involved in Bible study. I love youth group. I love praying. But the rest of the time, your life looks no different than those in the culture around us. That this is not the faith of emotion, but it's the one that doesn't change their ways when they come to Jesus. It's the one who wants both. It's a soul that craves the word of the world, wants to follow Jesus, but also wants to have the desires of the world in there too. Look at what Jesus says here. He describes some of the most popular weeds that grow up. Worries of this world, deceitfulness of wealth, and desires for other things, a desire that is not a desire for God. How often do you and I fall to these weeds? How often do we struggle to fight these growing weeds in our lives? Jesus is saying that these weeds, these sins are aggressive. They rise up, they squeeze the life out of you. He's saying that the desires of God and for God cannot grow alongside the desires of this world. The gospel doesn't promise to you what your fallen, sinful, wretched, selfish heart already wants. It's a life so radically different than the world, so radically different from the one that we see on TV or in movies or on social media. If you were to close your eyes and think about the weeds in your life, I'm sure before you even closed your eyes, you'd be able to think of ones that have sprung up time and time again. But that's the reason why some of us have been unfruitful. And the good news, friends, is that the sower, Jesus, is always available. And that's why we go to him, the master sower. So we come to the last soil that we find in this parable, the saved soil. I tried to go with alliteration, and I don't think this one sounds great, but forgive me. And this section here is the shocking part of the parable. See in verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Verse 20 then explains it. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And Jesus loves to do this with parables. He loves to blow the lid off what he says, the expectations of what will happen. And so he says, this grain that's planted in this good soil is going to produce some 30, 60, 100 fold, far more than what a usual crop of that day yielded. It's incredible, incredible amounts of grain. What it's saying here is not that every Christian is going to go from a harvest of 30, 260 to 100 times. It's not this progression, though, that may happen, but that in God's sovereign will, he will use some by his design to build greater and more far-reaching harvest. And what is the harvest that this person who has good soil produces? It's a person who has a new heart, new affections, new emotions, new knowledge, new life, and a new love for God. It's a desire to be delivered from sin, to want a life of righteousness and holiness. This is not a natural good soil that we saw before that we're born with. It's a complete changing of that soil within us into great, rich, ripe soil. It's a soil that only happens through God's doing. It's the sinner who comes to God and says, I want to be cleansed. Who comes before God with a bowed head and humility and says, I am sinful, but you are a saviour. And so this parable ends in an incredible declaration. So we should desire to be delivered from sin. And that this mark of the mark of a good soil is a good heart, a good hearer of the word. And we should all desire to be like this. If I had figured out how to do this on the PowerPoint, what I wanted to do at this point was show you a tiny seed of a redwood tree. I think that's what they're called, big redwood ones we have in Victoria. And then compare that to how it began with this tiny seed to this incredible, ginormous redwood tree that you see that goes higher almost that you can look in the sky. And what I wanted to say with that is that the seed that gets planted might start small, but yet God works on that and grows and harvests so that it will be more than we could ever imagine. That from this tiny seed, from this word of God, it grows and grows and grows, and it grows high and it grows wide and it grows far-reaching branches. But that's the harvest of God's word. That it's not just an okay harvest like the little shrubs we might see, but an incredible, ginormous harvest beyond our widest imagination. It will grow in faith and love and desire for God. It will grow thick and mature, being fed by his word. It will grow far-reaching from that true faith will come a desire to share the saving work of Christ to the ends of the earth. And if this soil describes your heart, your soul this evening, then praise God for that. But God is the only one that can make this bad, horrible, concrete soil into good, rich soil. God makes the heart and the soul ready for the response. If this isn't you tonight, then good news. God can do that for you too. Amen.